All right. Did we lose them and come back?
We lost them, but we're back.
Okay. We have quite a bit of rain here in California. So if you started watching and we came back, let's get started and get started on this message today. I hope you watched last night's message as we were talking about the waiting in confidence. And God wants us to wait in confidence. And why does he want us to wait in confidence? Because out of all the watchmen that have done such a great job of keeping us prepared and on the edge of our seats for so long, we are now down to the last, what I call the last date setter. And that last date setter is Jesus Christ. So we can definitely trust in the last date setter. God was preparing me for this message, the message that I gave last night, as I was spending my last days on the boat, saying, you know, everyone needs to have confidence now, because this is the last date setter, and that is Jesus Christ. And his date setting was based on the 70 years from the rebirth of the nation of Israel to this very end time. And so we are here in this last 70 years, and we have to ask ourselves, can Israel turn 70 and that 70th year pass and nothing happen? And I don't think that's possible. I think what Christ said is actually going to happen, that 70 years we will see two in one place, one taken and the other one left. And Christ's prophecy will come true in that 70 years, just as the temple prophecy came true in 70 AD. So I was trying to show you guys something last night, and it is a huge study. I posted it on my Facebook today so that you can click on the site that kind of have graphics about this whole thing of Israel being 215 years in Canaan and then 215 years in Egypt and only serving 144,000 years of slavery and not 400 years of slavery. But the persecution or the mistreatment of Israel definitely started exactly the time when Isaac began to get persecuted to the 400 years. So the 400 years is accounted for, the 430 years is accounted for. The problem we had was understanding it was that God never said that Israel was going to spend 400 years in Egypt in slavery. And he never said that they were going to spend 430 years in Egypt. He said they would spend 430 years and they would be mistreated. But that, he said, in the original Hebrew text said in the land Canaan and in Egypt. So 215 makes up the 430 years, and therefore God was showing me something. But you know, 430 years is 430 years to me, rather they did it in Egypt or Canaan. That's in my thinking. So God was like, that is not the reason why I want to show you this. The reason why I want to show you this is because you understand typologies. And the typology of Moshe, as compared to the typology of Yeshua, cannot lack in any way or any form. It has to be a pure typology. And what you see in Moses' life, you have to see in Yeshua's life. And so 400 years of slavery would not have been one of the typologies of Yeshua, but the 144 years of slavery, and the bells went off in my head, and I went, oh my goodness. If it was 144, then it's a complete typology of Christ, because the 144 is what God used as a measuring stick for time, because you know, God worked for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he takes a Sabbath. Well, 6 days, 24 hours each day on sixth day is 144 hours. So for Israel to be in slavery for 144 years, and for the church to be the end of God's work hour to be 144 days, 144,000 days of 24 hours, equaling the 6,000 years, then now it's making sense to me that the typology of Moses is completely in line with the typology of Yeshua, and we can now begin to look forward to the redemption, because the sixth day has been worked. And you can't, you know, sometimes you can find one of those jobs that'll pay you the very day you finish, you're on your last day of work, and they say, okay, here's your money and go out. But usually, you know, when you work your 6 days, then you have to wait and then you get your payment. So Jesus Christ has already worked 6,000 years, and now he's waiting on his payment. And his payment was his bride. That was the whole deal was, I will work for you for 1 week, but for that week, I want my bride. And so we are here. And so I want to make sure that we're understanding this. I think I went over it well last night, and I don't want to hammer that, but I want to just kind of go over it a little bit so that we understand, okay? Now, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer, and then I'm going to show you 215 years in Canaan that began the 430 years. But let's pray. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadesh Shemcha Tavod Mechuteke Yi Ase Rotzanaka Be Aretke Asher Ne Asa Beshamaim Ten Lano Hayom Lechem Hukenu Uselach Lano Et Ashmetenu Ke Asher Solechem Anaknu Le Asher Ashmelanu V'yal tevienu l'dei masa, ke'im hatzilanu min hara, ki lacha hamamlaka ve'hagivra ve'hativ eret le'olamei le'olamim. Amen. Baruch hayom ve'ha'kol telmedim, and just help us, Father God, to understand your word. Okay, here we go. Now, why does the Lord want us to be confident? Because he's laid it out plainly. He's laid it out plainly in the form of 70. Okay? Because he's given us example after example after example in Scripture that when the Lord says it's going to be 70 years, it's going to be 70 years, okay? And he makes sure that you get this into your mind and understanding of what a generation is, okay? So I want to first show you with my notes from last night, 215 years in Canaan. Okay? So, here we go. Let's look at our scriptures. And let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to start reading at verse 3, and it says, I will bless those who bless you, and whosoever curse you, I will curse, talking to Abraham, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot, and went with Abraham, and went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out to Haran. Okay? He took his wife, Sarah, and nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Okay? Now, when they get to Canaan, God then gives the covenant to Abraham. And it said, Abraham traveled through the land, in verse 6, as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem at the time of the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So at the age of 75, Abraham receives the covenant from God, okay? So here's the 75, he's 75 years old, and he arrives in Canaan, okay? And with the covenant. So that means from this covenant to the end of the slavery in Egypt will be 430 years. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 21, okay? Genesis chapter 21, verse 5. And it says here, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. So here you have the 25 years, right? He arrives here 7 years, so because he says he's 100 years old. So therefore, now we're here, and Abraham's now 100, and at the age of 25, he has his son Isaac, okay? So let's move on to the next. So now we have the 25 years has been covered. Now we have Genesis chapter 25, verse 26. It says, after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, and he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. Okay, so now Isaac is born here. 60 years later, he gives birth to Jacob. Now listen, Abraham is in Canaan. For all these years, he's in Canaan, okay? Now let's see what happens in the last with the last 130 years. Let's go to Genesis 47, verse 9. And look what this says. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, these years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. Okay? So now, at this time, they're going to leave. They're going to leave Canaan, okay? So now, you get the 25, you get the 60, you get the 130, 215 years. And so by the time they leave Canaan, 215 years have passed. And so now they're going to arrive in Egypt with the whole family. He takes the whole 70 to Egypt. One more thing I got to show you, though. I'm sorry, Pastor Ben. One more thing I have to show you. As we were reading last night in our notes, it is, I don't know what I got, some type of bug there. Okay, I was reading in our notes last night something very important. A Jewish baby is weaned for 5 years. So when in Genesis 15, verse 12 through 14, God tells us that the child grew, who grew? Isaac.
Genesis 15,
verse 12 through 4, it says the child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, it's letting you know exactly of the 5 years, because in the Jewish Agency for Israel, we get this information, and I have the website here, Jewish Agency and Jewish Education, showing you the history of the Israel. It says, Rabbi Joseph says, a child should be allowed to nurse for up to 5 years, okay? Then there's another site that says also it is to be 5 years. So he's getting weaned, but we know that he got weaned, when he got weaned, it was 30 years after they arrived in Canaan. Well, when he got weaned, on that day he got weaned, Ishmael, the other son, begins to be cruel to Isaac. Now, what was the promise to Abraham? Your descendants will be mistreated, okay, and in slavery for 400 years. So the mistreatment started here. For 30 years he was there and there was no mistreatment. But now you get here and the mistreatment begins at 30 years. So now you have 400 years less, but it's going to be 400 years left, but it's going to be 400 years of mistreatment. And then when they get to Egypt, there'll also be slavery.
You got a big kind of static going on.
I do.
Yeah. Can we...
Can I switch it over to the other side?
Yes,
please. Yeah. I usually have it on the side.
Okay.
How's that sound?
That, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Okay.
So now, you have to realize something. Did God time this? Because God knows, after the mistreatment starts, you can count exactly 400 years till they come out of Egypt. Okay? So God measured this. And that's what the Lord is telling me. Look, I am measuring time. Okay? I am watching over my word to see that it does exactly what I said I set out to do. And so when God prophesies something, you can be 100% ensure that it's time. And this is what the Lord has been impressing upon my heart. We got to get busy. This is not Scotty Clark as a watchman. This is not Pastor Sandy as a watchman. This is not, you know, Chuck Smith as a watchman. This is Jesus saying to you, when you see Israel reborn, rebirth back into the earth, know that this generation shall not pass until you see this. What? Two will be in one place, one will be taken, and the other one left. Okay? So he measured out that 30 years because there's not going to be any persecution within that 30 years. But now the mistreatment begins, and God measured it. Okay? Now,
how much trouble would it be for you to hold that? I think it's your jacket.
You think it is?
I really think it's your jacket.
What if I hold it like this?
If you could do that, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, we see that, and now they're going to enter into Egypt, and then what we counted yesterday was now, as they're in Egypt, we can count the years in Egypt. And the years in Egypt are this. When they got there, we have to realize Joseph was 30 years old, okay? We're talking about before they got there, Joseph was already 30 years old, okay? And he's in Egypt. 7 years, there's abundance. And then inside the 2 years of the famine, all of Israel arise in Egypt. So Joseph is 39 years old. Then Joseph dies when he's 110. 39 to the 110 is 71 years. You minus the 71 years from the 215 to 215 years that they're going to be there, okay? And you have 110. and 44 years that the slavery began and continued till Moses came and rescued them. And that is when the bells went off. And God said, there is the typology, because at the end of the work week, you get your bride, okay? At the end of the work week comes the rescue, okay? And so God is letting us know the end of the work week has happened. This is why God gave me a 6,000-year count, to let us know when the end of the work week is going to be so that we can prepare to leave, okay? The end of the work week was 2017. And so now that that end of that work week has happened, and I I'm not breaking it to you because you're students. You know we're still in 2018 with God, right? Because God will not start 2019 in January, okay? But he will start it in the spring, the time that he said a year's to begin in Nisan. So we're looking for this thing to happen and for 2018 to come to pass, because who said it? Yeshua. Okay, so what was the thing that I read that then now captured my mind and my heart was Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. And what does that say? It says, now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Okay? Now listen, they came into Egypt. Okay? Please listen. Every man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. And verse 5 says, and all the souls that came out of the loin of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And it says, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all in that generation. When did Joseph die? 70 years after they arrived there, Joseph died in the 71st year. Everybody died in that generation, okay? So in the 70 years from them entering into Egypt, all of the people, all of the descendants of all the that Jacob brought to Egypt, the brothers and everyone that Jacob brought to Egypt, he said everybody had died off, but then he says, all in all in that generation. Okay? So that means from the time they entered into Egypt to the time that Joseph died was the 70 years, and he said they all died, but he uses the word that generation. Okay? We know it's 70 years. So now, does the Bible continue to tell us that 70 years is a generation? Let's see, because if we go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 8, God promises them what? You are going to be in Babylon for how long? 70 years. When Daniel begins to pray for the people, what does he say? Daniel says, he knew that it was 70 years since God made the promise or started the curse of them in Babylon. And he began to pray because he knew that Babylon's rule over them was now about to be over. And at 70 years, that rulership in Babylon over the Israelites was done. So that was another 70 years. We talked back about a couple of weeks ago. God made another 70-year prophecy about the destruction of Tyre. And he said in 70 years, and Tyre was destroyed. The destruction of Tyre began exactly 70 years. Then we get to Matthew. Well, we don't even have to get to Matthew. yet, but let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Let's be in Matthew chapter 23, because we have to know this first of all. Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to be at verse 35. And we'll also read 35 and 36. And Jesus is talking here, and he says, "So upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar." Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. All this will come upon this generation." Okay? Now, this is when you need to understand that he hasn't told them yet what's going to come upon their generation. He's saying, but all this is going to come upon this generation. Then he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who the prophets, who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as hens gather chicks under their wing, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left desolate." That is what he's saying is going to happen in this generation. Your house is left desolate. "For I tell you the truth, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord,' or 'Baruch haba b'shem Adonai.'" Then they go outside and he shows them the temple. Okay, and they begin to show him the temple. And in verse 2, he says, "Do you see all these things, this glorious temple?" He's saying. He says, "I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be torn down." He's telling them what's going to happen in that 70 years. And then, if you read the Antiquities of Flavius Josephus, and you read about the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, you also read that they overturned every stone. So God is saying what? Jeremiah, what do you see? "I see a branch and an almond." He says, "You have seen well." He says, "Because I am watching over my word to see that it is fulfilled." So every stone was turned over, and the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Because who said it? Yeshua, God said it. Okay? Now, we get to chapter 24, and then we go to verse... Matthew 24, chapter verse 32. And then, as the Greek does, in 32 is a separate entity from 31. And in the Greek language, there is a word used that says, "Now we're moving on to a new subject." Okay? I did this to explain a false doctrine that someone else, but in when a Greek starts a new subject, they will use a certain word that says, "Now this is a new subject." So it says, "Now." Okay, because to 31, he told them what's going to happen in the end times. Because that was their question. When will the end happen? So he told them from that verse all the way to 31 how the end is going to happen. In 32, he says, "Now this is a new subject. Let's talk about this." He says, "Now learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as you see its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation," what generation? The fig tree generation. Okay? That generation that sees the fig tree blossom and come back into existence. He says, This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, remember when he said this generation before? Okay. Has he said what's going to happen yet? No. He said now in this generation, when you see the fig tree, these things are going to happen. What's going to happen? So he gives us the big buildup about no one knows the day or the hour, and it's going to be like the days of Noah. People will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And he says nobody will even have any thought to it when it happens. That is how it's going to happen. But then he gets here, and then he says, is it in verse? It says, therefore, keep watch because you do not know what day your Lord will come. Okay? It says, but understand this. If the owner of the house had known what time the thief was going to come, he would have kept watch and would not have had his house broken into. So you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come in an hour that you do not expect. Now, in 39 to 40, he says, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came. That's how it was at the days of Noah. He says, that's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. This is the event he's saying is going to happen. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left.
Hold it up a little bit.
Okay. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. Israel's birthday, 70th birthday, is closing out. If you say we're going to celebrate, this is the 70th year, you can only celebrate the 70th year for 1 year. And so this 70th year that they have been in the land is closing out. And as of May 14, 2019, that will be closed out. Or if you go by the Hebrew calendar, it will happen sometime in April, which is the spring, and that will have closed out. So it is Christ who is telling you that the rapture is going to happen before the generation of the fig tree closes out. Wow. Does he tell us that anywhere else? Psalms 48. And the wonderful thing about Psalms 48 is he doesn't forget about what happened before 1948. So he lets you know this event's going to happen and then this event's going to happen. What happened in Psalms 47? Psalms 47 happened exactly what happened at the UN. What happened at the UN? It says this, the nobles of the nations assembled. That happened in 1947. The nobles of the nations, all the leaders of the nations assembled. Why were they assembling? As the people of God, as the people of the God of Abraham. They assembled to discuss what? The people of Abraham, the people of God, of the God of Abraham. Okay, and it says, for the kings of the earth belong to God. So there, God is manipulating their minds, and they are going to make a decision that God is putting in their minds. Okay, what is God putting in their mind? You're going to give Israel's land back. So they walk out, and they declare by vote, we've declared that the land of Israel belongs to the Jews, and we're giving them the right to move back. Now, it doesn't happen right away, so they wait till 1948. Why? Because God prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5, that it wouldn't, the return wouldn't happen till 1948 or 5708. So now, in chapter 48, it begins to talk about the return of the people into the city, and it describes it so well that is exactly how the event happened before they moved back. How did it happen? It says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy city. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadel when, in the 19th book in the 48th chapter, 1948, he has shown himself to be her fortress. Then it says this, which is exactly what happened when they moved back in. When the kings joined forces, they advanced together and they saw her. Who'd they see? They saw Israel. It says, and they were astonished. Okay? And it says, they fled in terror. So they didn't win that war. It says, trembling seized them there, and pain like that of the woman in labor. Okay, and it says, God, you destroyed them like the ships of Tarshish shattered by the east wind. So God fought a war for Israel when they moved back into the land. Now, when you go to verse 13, he says, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels. He says, go look at Israel. He says, that you may tell it to the Lador Ha'akaron. I don't know how many times in scripture, the word Acheron, the Dor HaAcheron, is used in scripture, and it always translates as the last generation. Only when it gets to here in Psalm does it say the next generation or the following generation. Okay? So understanding and knowing Hebrew, God is telling you right here, when you see this happen, he says, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcheron. Tell it to the last generation. Speak to it into a Hebrew translation. You say Lador HaAcheron, it'll say terminal or last generation. Okay? So, 1948 began the terminal and last generation. This is why I said we need to be confident, because God is watching over his word. He's watching over every event that happens. God is watching over his word. How is it that a God who says, you know what, I'm going to destroy the first temple on the 9th of Av, and then when 70 AD comes about, 2,000 years later, he goes, oh, you know what, I think I'll destroy the second temple on the exact same day that I destroyed the first temple, right? That means God is watching over his word, right? And God is watching over time, and he knows when these events are going. And Jesus did us a favor. He said, let me pinpoint it for you so you'll know that it's going to happen in this time period. When you see the nation of Israel rebirth, know that this generation will not pass till all these things happen. What things? It will be as it was in the days of Noah. Two will be in one place, one will be taken, and the other one left. And it's going to overtake them as if they were not thinking about it, oblivious to the understanding of it. The second coming of Christ is not an unexpected event.
Right.
Because in the book of Revelation, you can count 1,260 years to the middle of the tribulation. Then you could count 1,260 years to the end of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And it tells you all the events that are going to happen before Christ returns. So that is not an unexpected event. But the event that we have, because we're floating in it right now, we don't know if he's coming today or tomorrow. We just know that Israel's been rebirthed, and we're in the 70th year, and before the 70th year expires, we're out of here.
Yes.
That's what we know. Okay? So that is how we have to live. You have to do, this is why I talked about Christine Jackman's song, Psalms 27, the end of it. Kaveh Adonai, Kaveh Adonai. Wait eagerly with confidence on your God.
Yeah.
Because the scriptures has told us time and time again that 70 years is a generation. And it just did it last with this whole thing about Israel not spending 400 years in Israel. Israel did not spend 400 years of slavery in Israel. They spent 144 years. And then we get to the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation. Okay, perfect. Let's go to the book of Revelation. What does God do in the book of Revelation? Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 3. Let's go to verse 4. It says, "Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. Okay? He heard 100. Why does God just decide, hey, let's pick 12,000 from each? Or is God announcing something? Let me ask you a question. If God works 6 days and his Sabbath, and on the Sabbath, then he takes the Sabbath, that means a work week for God is 6 days. How many hours are in a day? 24. How many hours are in a 6 day week, work week? 144. Okay? So God created time to tell you a story of 144,000. So when 144 years ended, Moshe, do you know what Moshe, the root word Moshe means to save and preserve. Wow. Is the root word for Moshe. At the time, as they said, to draw out, but it means to pull out, to preserve, or to save. The name Yeshua comes from the root word Moshe. Moshe is just a typology of Yeshua. So now we get 144. I'm going to show you this one more time. Let's look, Pastor Ben. I'm going to show you one more time. Because Satan is slick. He's going to take the Masoretic text, the Hebrew text, and he takes out of the Masoretic text that the mistreatment and slavery would be for 400 years in Canaan and Egypt. Okay? So we all believe that the slavery lasted for 400 years. But that doesn't match the typology of Yeshua. But God wants you to know, Yeshua and Christ are the same. They're going to match out exactly the same. I could go through it with the scriptures with you, but one of the things that matches out the same is after the 144, Moshe comes and he rescues the people out of Egypt. After 144,000, because a day is like 1,000 years, after 144,000 days, 24 times 6,000 equals the 144,000. So he's saying his work day is over. Now, watch this.
Pin that on your pocket.
Pin it on my pocket? Is it still scratchy?
It's still scratching.
How about I put it right?
So I think it's scratched up against the wool jacket.
Right there.
Okay, let's give that a try.
Okay. Now, in the book of Genesis, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. How many olives are in that first verse in Genesis chapter? There's six olives. How do you say thousand in Hebrew? Olive.
Right.
So there's six thousands in the first verse. Then you get to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, and you see the word thousand six times. Okay? This is what I'm saying. God is like, and I just praise God. I have shown you too much. You can't wait wondering and hoping that I'm coming, because you won't witness to the people you need to witness to. You won't forgive the people you need to forgive. Okay? You won't have the urgency that we as children of light are supposed to have urgency, because this day should not take us as a surprise. This is a surprise to the world, because they don't hear our voice, because they don't belong to our God.
Right.
But we should not be surprised. You know you're in the 70th year. Pastor Sandy has told you you're in the 70th year. And I've only had one assignment since 2003, is to prepare my people to exit. prepare my people to leave. So that's what I'm doing. Amen. I'm preparing you to leave. Okay? It is time. And now it is time to what? Do what? To begin to say, those people that I was thinking about witnessing to, I need to go ahead and witness to. Okay? I missed a witnessing opportunity while I was on the boat on vacation. I heard a guy right behind me say he was going to surgery and he was sick. And I'm standing there and I wanted to turn around and say, hey, what's wrong? What is your surgery about? Can I pray for you? And I didn't do it. I missed that opportunity. We can't keep missing opportunities. We can't keep missing opportunities. Amen. Okay? So praise God. This is a call for us to wait with confidence.
Amen.
You're leaving. You're leaving. Why? Because Pastor Sandy came up with some structures and some long time. No, Yeshua said you're leaving. Okay? So since Yeshua said you're leaving and his word says this is the end of the 70th year, it's the end.
Amen.
Okay? And this generation is about to feel the joy of God. And on the other hand,